This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin the show with a dark anniversary. 1 year ago today, Hurricane Maria slammed into Puerto Rico. The powerful and deadly storm damaged hundreds of thousands of homes, knocked out power across the island for months. According to the Puerto Rican government, the updated death toll is just shy of 3,000, making it one of the deadliest storms in U.S. history. WBUR's Simon Rios reported from Puerto Rico in the aftermath of Maria, and he's back on the island this week and joins us now from San Juan. Simon, good to have you back on Radio Boston.
Thanks a lot, Anthony. It's good to be here.
So give us a sense of what you've been seeing since you've been back and how it compares to what you saw last year right after Maria hit.
The first thing you see when you land, you know, having as a point of comparison being here right after the storm, is that the green has returned to this tropical island. When we were here before, it just, the entire place felt brown, and now the vegetation is back. That's the first thing. But as you talk to people, you realize more and more how much work there is to go, as you can hear.
As if on cue.
Right. But I got to say, you know, it really depends on where you go and who you talk to. Much of San Juan really seems back to normal. It's hard to tell anything happened. But that is not true for the countryside. And it's also not true for neighborhoods in San Juan, more working class neighborhoods where they really haven't seen a lot of help. And you know, where entire houses are still destroyed, abandoned even, and where people are really just hanging on for a thread.
Yeah, so a lot of work left to do. Now, the updated death toll from the Puerto Rican government, 2,975, much higher than the original estimate of just 64. How are people reacting to this number? It must confirm what many already knew.
It does. You know, if you consider that Puerto Rico has one of the oldest populations in the United States, and as I said before, the number of people who depend on electricity for their health care, you know, this is where the greatest number of people died after the storm, from the lack of electricity, you know. And to add to this, a lot of medical personnel left the island, and, you know, with difficulty getting certain medications, that's where a lot of the deaths occurred. We spoke to a guy on background who works at the VA in San Juan, and he told me that every day after the storm, he would see lines of refrigerated trucks lined up outside the morgue. And so at this time, I think the government's official death toll was 16. And it was obvious to him and to many other people that the real numbers were going to be much different. Pedro Adorno is the head of a community theater collective in San Juan. Here's what he told us about going around the island in the weeks and months after the storm.
We knew a lot of hospitals were without electricity, people who don't got cancer treatment, people who got kidney problems. We feel that, but they denied the information.
So, Simone, are people still having trouble getting help from the federal government, from FEMA, from the Federal Disaster Agency?
This is a huge problem in Puerto Rico right now. Many people who say that they have legitimate claims say they've been denied for one reason or another. But at the same time, we should point out that FEMA says it's carried out one of the largest recovery efforts in its history.
So what's the general mood? What's the general attitude towards the federal government and FEMA on the island in general?
It really depends on who you talk to. You know, a lot of people feel abandoned, and others are thankful that they got any help at all, you know, even if it wasn't enough to make them whole, especially because they know neighbors who didn't get anything. We met Jose Contreras in the same neighborhood we were talking about before while he was rebuilding his house.
Aquí se dispararon los precios por una cosa increíble.
Contreras told us that he had to struggle with FEMA and that he was rejected at first, but he appealed and eventually got the maximum amount of just over $33,000. The problem is the price of materials here, as you can imagine, has skyrocketed. Also, in his case, he's able to do the work himself, but a lot of the people here, you know, don't have those skills or don't have other people who can help them. So when you consider all of these factors, help from FEMA just isn't enough. And you know, that's if you get any help at all.
Now, you've also spoken to some experts about the reconstruction process and what that could mean for Puerto Rico. What are people saying about that?
This is a big deal right now in Puerto Rico. Tens of billions of dollars set to come in for the reconstruction effort. And people are concerned about where that money's going to go. It seems like everybody's talking about it. It could be an opportunity to turn things around and really stimulate the economy, or not. I met with José Caraballo Cueto. He's a well-known economist on the island. You know, he described Puerto Rico as going through a Great Depression since 2006. And he says all the disaster money set to come in could either help Puerto Rico turn around or further contribute to the inequality that already exists here.
Well, that's WBUR's Simon Rios reporting from San Juan, Puerto Rico, on the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Maria hitting that island. Simon, thanks so much. We look forward to talking to you in the days ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, Mark Leibovich on his new book, Big Game, the NFL in Dangerous Times. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.